Amen. He is a good God this morning, ain't He? Amen. We've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. Amen. The songwriter said, for you see, He has been so good to me. Amen. Good is good, but so good, that's real good. Amen. I bless His name for being so good this morning. Amen. I love Him this morning. I hope you do. Amen. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Mark's Gospel this morning. Mark chapter number 1. And I want to say thank you to Brother Michael for having us in this morning. I was thinking when we got here, just looking around the building. By the way, one of the most beautiful auditoriums, foyer churches that I've ever been in my life. I mean that. This place is just absolutely gorgeous. The Lord is blessed. And you can tell that you take pride in what the Lord has given you. And I commend you for that this morning. I believe God's house ought to be a nice place. Amen. My house, you might come and you might not like it very much. And I don't really like it all that much sometimes neither. Amen. And wife says it's too small, but we don't like to vacuum because it's too much vacuuming, and we don't like to clean because it's too much to clean. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But you might not like my house. It's not the nicest, and you may live in a great big old mansion, but this is God's house. And I know some churches, they just get started. Brother Rochester, it may be in a storefront building, but it ought to be the best storefront building that you can make it be. And if it's a building on the side of the road, amen, it ought to be the best building on the side of the road. And I heard a preacher say it like this, said, God's house better be the most inviting place in your town. And I'll tell you what, when I walked in the door, just the scenery of this place was beautiful. But can I say, I'm thankful that I've already felt the Spirit of God here this morning. Amen. I like it when you walk in and it only takes about 3 minutes to start seeing the altars to be used. Amen. I preach revivals every night of my life, every week of my life, and sometimes we might see the altar get used a half of a time in a whole week of meeting. And I feel right at home when I walk in and they're already being put to good use. Amen. So I want to say thank you. It is a joy to be here. Me and Brother Michael, we go way back. I surrendered to preach. This year will be my 11th year, I believe, preaching. This October being 11 years preaching. And the first year that I surrendered to preach, really, it wasn't long, and a friend of mine down in South Georgia, he started using me, and I had an old K1500, 1996, single cab, 3-inch lift with 35-inch mud tires, and that's what I traveled in, amen, a Silverado, a 5-speed, and I'm talking about that thing, it was loud and proud, and it got 4 miles to the gallon, and it broke down everywhere I went. I was just getting started, and sure enough, I was on my way to go preach for a buddy of ours, and broke down on the way. So my buddy, he said, I can't help you. He said, but I know a guy that can. So we called Brother Rochester, and we had the truck towed, and Brother Rochester fixed it for us, took care of it all. And from that moment, it was just, you know, some things will last, And I thank you for that, Brother Rochester. I really do. I've never forgot that day, and I hope the Lord let me keep my mind and remember it the rest of my life. And I'm thankful that the Lord's people are good people, ain't you? Yes, amen. I love God's people. Yes. Amen. We're brothers and sisters. We ought to get along. Amen. Brothers and sisters, they fight all the time, but at the end of the day, they still love each other. Amen. We better, because we got to go back to the same house one day. Somebody say amen. Amen. I heard so. I don't like so-and-so. You got to go to heaven with them, so you better figure out a way how. Amen. Amen. Mark's Gospel. That's enough rambling for one day. Amen. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 1. I want us to find our text. And we'll begin reading in verse number 38. And when you're there, give me a good amen. Glad to be saved, say amen. Glad you're in God's house this morning. Say amen. Amen. Mark chapter number 1, verse number 38, the Bible says this. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, and put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Would you pray for me this morning? Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come and be a part of this great church this morning. Lord, the beauty of it, Lord, is breathtaking. Lord, the scenery is beautiful and it's nice, but Lord, there's one thing that we desire more. And Lord, that is for the precious, sweet Holy Ghost, Lord, to move among us today. And God, Lord, you have your way in this service, Lord, more than anyone else. And God, Lord, for you to touch our hearts and touch our lives, Lord, as only you can do. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you touch my heart, touch my mind, and touch my mouth. I know it won't be of anything that I say today that'd be of any help. But Lord, I do ask you that you'd use me as your vessel and the instrument to relay the sound that you have for your people. And Lord, for that we'd be mighty grateful. And we ask it now in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I love the stories of the lepers in the Word of God. Many stories that we find in the Gospels recorded of lepers. I love each and every one of them and their differences, but no doubt they all still always go back to the same point, to the same meaning, and have the same context about them. Someone is needing Jesus to do something special for them. They are lost and they are hopeless and they are needful, and they found that Jesus is the only answer. And I tell you this morning, I don't know where you came from. I don't know your life story. I don't know if you grew up on the right or the wrong side of the tracks. I don't know if you was in a wealthy family or a poor family. I don't know if you had it together or it was all falling apart. But I do know this, whether you had it together, falling apart, good family, bad family, right side or wrong side, we all needed Jesus this morning. Amen. I'm thankful the Word of God says that there are none righteous, no, not one. But my righteousness is as filthy rags. But I'm thankful that on the cross of Calvary, Jesus took off His coat of righteousness and made it an imputable coat for you and I this morning. Amen. And when the Father looks at me and when He looks at you, if you're saved, born again, on your way to heaven this morning, it's not even me that He sees. Even you that He sees, but He looks down and He sees His only begotten Son and the blood that He shed on Calvary as it is placed upon your heart's door. I say this morning, I thank God that there was a day that I was an old leper. I was a 10-year-old preacher's kid, lost and undone. But Jesus came by my way. Amen. Showed me I was lost and undone in my sin. Amen. And He saved my soul from hell. Amen. Like the old song says, I am no longer an orphan. I'm no longer a leper. Amen. But I've been bought with a price. Jesus has cleansed me and washed me whiter than snow this morning. I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. Hallelujah. I look at this story. There's some reasons why I even started studying the particular thing that I started. I'll mention a few of them. And we'll get in our text. I was traveling up the road last year, the springtime, April, matter of fact, be about a year ago. And Brother Michael, I was driving up to a place that I'd never been before, preaching for a man, a brother that I didn't never really know. I'd only met him a few times out on the road, and he'd booked me for a meeting, and I started traveling up I-75, coming out of Georgia into Chattanooga, heading to Kentucky. And all of a sudden, I'm talking about a thunderstorm out of this world was all around me. Lightning striking on the, you could literally see the bolts coming down, hitting the ground. I thought it hit my truck a few times. I wasn't sure. I was nerve-wracked. I'm talking about I couldn't take it. I called that brother. I said, listen, I know you got a place for me to stay there. I said, but I've looked at the weather on my phone. It's going to be like this for another 3.5 hours on my trip. I said, I can't take it, brother. Would you be offended if I got a room here where I'm at and I'll drive the rest of the way in the morning? He said, we want you here, but we want you here safely. He said, you do whatever you need to do. So I did that very thing. And there's one thing about me that if y'all don't know me, you'll know this about me. I do not do mornings very well. And these people that talk about, they get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, they get up at 5, oh, bless your heart, somebody needs to, but it ain't me, amen. I like deer hunting, I like fishing, but I'd rather do it all at night. I mean the evening, somebody say amen. Can I get a witness there? Amen. I wish Sunday mornings were Sunday nights. Y'all know what I'm saying? I just don't do well in the mornings. I don't function good. But brother, I had 3.5 hours and to be at service at 11 o'clock, losing an hour, I mean I had to get up early and go to where I was going. So there I went, I jumped up, threw my suit and tie on, pulled in a gas station, got me a good old cup of coffee, amen, from the Love's gas station. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Then while I got my coffee good and right, then I walked over to the cooler and I got me a big old Red Bull. So there I went up the road, had my coffee in one hand and the Red Bull in another hand. Amen. I was looking for the caffeine to kick in at any moment. All of a sudden, I remembered someone had told me about a song. They said, you need to listen to this song, it'll help you. I got to thinking about it, finally found it on my phone, and I started listening to that song, and the song simply began to talk about how we needed a move from God. Man, that thing over and over, we need a move, we need a move, we need a move. And man, that thing started building up down in my spirit. And I got to thinking about how bad we do need God to move. And then all of a sudden, the singer of the song, they changed gears. And it wasn't anymore just saying we needed a move, but it was starting to sing about how the reminders of what happens when God does move. And that song said giants are still being slain. Amen. It talked about mountains still being moved. When God moves and when God does something in our lives. And man alive, all I knew is I started putting my Red Bull down. I started putting my coffee down. Amen. I started lifting them hands up in the air because God started reminding me just how powerful it really is. When the Holy Ghost has liberty to move and to do things in our lives that we cannot do for ourselves. He started reminding me of other places that I needed God to move. I needed Him to move here and I needed Him to move there. And I said, God, if you can move back there, and Lord, if you moved way back yonder, then I'm just going to trust you that you can still move in my life today. I don't know if y'all understand it or not. Amen. But yesterday, that vote really didn't matter. Yesterday, that vote didn't really do a whole lot. And come November, things really ain't going to get a whole lot better. Amen. No matter who wins and who loses. But what we need in this day and hour in the country that we live in, it's an old-fashioned Holy Ghost-sent revival. And for God to move one more time in our midst, it's not getting our bank account back to a new level. It's not getting our 401k right. Amen. It's not getting our life insurance plans all figured out. But what really matters is when we get our eyes focused back on the Holy Ghost and on God Almighty and saying, God, what I need is for you to move in my life. I believe this. I believe if we let God move, amen, we'd be a whole lot better off. I'd rather God move than me preach my sermon. I'd rather God move than me give my testimony. Amen. Brother Michael knows this. If the Holy Ghost gets to moving, Brother Jared ain't got to preach. Brother Jared ain't got to do nothing. You say, why? But you was booked for the meeting. You was booked for the revival. But you're booked to sing here and you're booked to preach there. Honey, because if God will just move for about 5.5 seconds, He can do more in those 5.5 seconds for an individual, for a church, than a man can do in hours of preaching and days of preaching. Honey, there is power in the moving of God. There's power. And I was driving up the road and the Lord was helping me with all of that, and all of a sudden it was like He just flipped the switch off. I don't know if the Lord ever does that to y'all right in the middle of your camp meeting service. When He did, He turned the switch off and He said, but let me ask you a question. What does it mean for me to move? And I said, well, Lord, I think I know because I've asked you to a whole lot. I've been in meetings all my life, churches all I've ever known, and I've been in camp meetings before and revivals before, and it seems like somewhere in every one of those services I can always reflect back to where someone would stood behind a pulpit and they would say, Lord, we ask you to move today. I myself have prayed at the beginning of someone's service at their meeting and said, God, would you move? But what does that really mean when God moves?
Well, I like to take my answers from the Word of God. I don't know about y'all, but that's just how I like to do it. I begin to flip all the way back to the very beginning of the book, and I found out in Genesis chapter number 1, the Bible said this, that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Honey, I found Him moving in creation. Then I flipped over there in the back of the book, and in Peter's book, I found where the Word of God said that the Spirit of God moved upon men, and He gave us that precious book that we hold in our hand this morning. As a matter of fact, I said, you know what? I found Him in the beginning. I found Him in the end. And I just started turning page by page. And you know what I found on every page? Amen. On every side, in every chapter, in every verse, I found that God was doing things that only God could do. And everywhere in that book this morning, if you ever find His name, if you ever find Him doing something, He is moving.
What does it mean for God to move? He just got to do something. He's just got to say something. Matter of fact, you know what else I found out about God moving? He really ain't got to do nothing. He really ain't got to say something. He's just got to be there. And as long as He's there, He moved to be there. And can I tell you this morning, you know what I found out in Pacolet, South Carolina, that never been here, never really even heard of it. But I found out that even up here, somewhere between Spartanburg and Union, I found out that God is moving this morning. Hallelujah. Yeah, brother, he asked me a question, so I figured, well, can I ask him a question? I said, you asked me, what does it mean when God moves? I said, but can I ask you, do I ever find Jesus moving? I hope I don't have to teach a Sunday school lesson. I'm sure you got great Sunday school teachers in here, and I'm sure that your congregation is well learned, probably even better than I am. But I hope you understand what I'm saying because I believe in the Trinity. Can I get an amen right there? I believe the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I understand these three are one. I hope y'all understand what I'm saying when I'm saying this. The 33 years of the life of Jesus, 100% God, yet 100% man on this earth. Do we ever find where Jesus was moving? Three times in the Word of God, I found where Jesus on this earth is moving. We've read our first one already this morning. But the first place that I find Jesus moving is over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 9. The Bible said that they brought a possessed man to Jesus where he was that day. They began to call out and ask Jesus to perform a miracle, to cast out the devils in this man. And sure enough, Jesus did exactly what they asked him to do. And Jesus cast out the devil in that man, and then all of a sudden the Bible said that the multitude marveled at what he had done. Watch out. They marveled at what he had done. And the Bible said that Jesus turned around, and when he saw that multitude gather that day, the Word of God said that Jesus moved with compassion. You know what I find amazing in that? Here's a man full of the devil. Here's a man full of demons. Here's a man possessed. Bible didn't say that Jesus moved for the possessed man. Amen. But what happened was, is when that multitude that brought that possessed man to Jesus began to marvel at what he had done, rather than just who he was. The Bible said that he moved with compassion on them. You know why Jesus is moving for us this morning? Because he realizes that sometimes we get caught up more in the miracle than when we just get caught up in the Master, and our eyes get fixed on what Jesus can do for us rather than just who Jesus is for us. But thanks be unto God, Jesus looked at them and he said, ye are a sheep having no shepherd. You say, what are you saying? Jesus said, y'all might be a little messed up, but at least y'all sheep. Amen. And every now and then, sheep's got to be led. And I don't know if you know it or not, but this morning, if you're saved this morning, you are part of the fold of God. You are sheep in his pasture. I'm thankful this morning that our good shepherd will lead us and guide us and direct us. I'm glad to be part of the fold this morning. Amen. We find him moving for the sheep. Then over in Mark's Gospel, we find another time that Jesus is moving. Mark chapter number 6 and Matthew chapter number 14. Same story is given by both Matthew and Mark in the Gospels. And this time it's not a possessed man, but this time it's simply in a
moment where there is a sick man that comes or is brought to where Jesus is. And his friends bring him unto Jesus and they said, Jesus, can you do something for him? And Jesus, one more time, in Matthew 14 and Mark chapter number 6, the scripture said, and Jesus moved with compassion on him. And I look at this man, I'm trying to figure out what it is. I'm trying to find out what kind of sicknesses Jesus will move for. And it's really not that specific on what the sickness was. It really is not giving us all the great details that I'd like to know. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but if I'm going to the doctor and something's wrong with me, please tell me what it is so we can counteract whatever the problem. I mean, is that just me? Y'all know where Abbeville is, South Carolina. Anybody know where Abbeville, South Carolina? Greenwood, South Carolina. Y'all know where Greenwood's at. Abbeville's the next door neighbor. We redneck. Are y'all rednecking Packlet, South Carolina? Y'all up here close to Greenville, y'all might be city-fied folk. I don't know. I don't feel that vibe in here. I feel like Packlet. That's a redneck town. I mean, I crossed over the train tracks, and I seen the train going by, and the arms didn't even come down. Y'all redneck. Y'all trying to save on the power bill in Packlet? No, I'll just leave the arms up. If they don't see the train, God help them, amen. This is redneck town, I feel like. I'm just trying to give you the redneck version of what's going on right here. It wasn't very specific, but I believe what was being said was, if Jesus will just move, no matter what the problem is. Y'all got Hardee's in Packlet or somewhere close to Packlet. I don't know if Packlet's got anything. All I know, y'all got a railroad track and a Morning Star Baptist Church, amen. Y'all got a Hardee's? That's all you got. God set this up. I'm telling you. Got a Hardee's. Well, y'all know how they do at Hardee's. Saturday morning, all the old men of Packlet gather around and sip the same senior coffee for 2.5 hours. Somehow they never get cold. They just keep on steaming. I was the little kid running around the Hardee's floor while Daddy and the old man was straightening the world out on Saturday morning. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I loved hearing them stories. They talk about old tractors. They talk about old cars. They talk about old days. They talk about their grandpas and they talk about their grandma. And I'm talking about they'd get the world straightened out in about 5 minutes. If he'd just do this, if they'd just do that, if they'd just quit worrying about it, everything'd be fine. I grew up around old men. My daddy, he raised me. I grew up around older preachers. My daddy, he just pulled me around everywhere we went. It was sit down and listen, son, and don't you say a word if you want to keep that smile. Can I get a witness right there? Am I in the right place this morning? There was one conversation I'll never forget hearing about. They'd start talking about sick folk. They say, I'll tell you what they need. And all you old, I'm not going to say old timers, but I'm going to say older timers. Y'all know what you're supposed to take when you're sick, and it don't even matter what's got you sick. Because whatever it is, this is going to help you. Matter of fact, they'd say it like this. They'd say, oh, if they'd take a good dose of castor oil, it'll cure whatever ails you. I turned 30 today. Thank you for happy birthday. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Me and the brother, we share a birthday, it sounded like. I don't know what ails you is, but they talked about that castor oil and it cures whatever ails you. So I'm trying to figure out whatever ails you is. I don't know, but I know this. I don't want it. They talked about how bad that castor oil is, but honey, it didn't matter back in their day. Amen. Cancer, it'd cure it. Amen. A wart on your thumb, it'd get rid of it. Amen. If you're losing your hair, take some more castor oil. It'll put hair back on your head. Amen. If you've got too much hair, take a little castor oil. It'll get some of it off. Amen. I don't know what all that ails you is, but I know that castor oil will cure whatever ails you. I know this morning you might have walked in with a little sickness. And you say, oh, no, nobody know what's going on down inside of me. Oh, nobody understands the hurt that's living inside of my heart. Nobody understands the pain that I'm feeling inside of my body. Nobody understands the storm that I'm walking through. Nobody understands the trial that I'm having to live in. Listen, I don't know either. Only you and the Holy Ghost of God knows. But I know this. Jesus is the answer. And He can cure whatever ails you this morning. Amen. There's no problem too big. There's no problem too small. Just give Jesus a try and let Him help you this morning. Oh, man. What will it take for Jesus to move? Well, He likes moving for His sheep. He likes moving for those that just need Him to move because they don't feel too hot today. And then the third time, we done read about it. Here comes an old leper. Here comes one living in the stressful life. Here comes one, an exile. Here comes one, an outcast. Here comes one that his family has had to shun him away. His children can't run up and hug his neck anymore. Here comes one that's lost his job. Here comes one that sin has took a toll on his life. Here comes one that used to know a life of peace and happiness and joy, have a good house, have a good career. But in just a moment, in an instant, everything in his life was changed. I don't know if you know this or not, but in the Word of God, there's no greater picture, there's no greater typology in the Scriptures of leprosy than sin, and sin and leprosy. I believe they work exactly the same before a leper ever would ever know that he's a leper, before the appearance of the leprosy began to show itself on his skin, before he'd ever started rubbing and moving on his hands and his face, before he'd ever start to contort, before he'd ever start losing fingers, losing digits, losing members. The work had already been done on the inside. The disease had already spread out through his whole body. And can I tell you this morning, before sin ever makes a man or a woman look like a short enough sinner, it's already done the evil deed on the inside. It's already taken its place and its hold in a man or a woman's heart. Before a drunk ever wakes up one morning and he's homeless and he's lost his children and he's lost his wife, before he's ever lost his living, he's already had sin living on the inside for quite some time, and before he knows it, he turns around, and everything that he's ever loved is gone. Everybody that he's ever loved on, they're gone. Everything he's ever known has walked out of his life. I remember I was in another place in Kentucky several years ago. And I was walking through a little old town right on the Ohio River, right on the Ohio line. And I come around the corner. I just walked through here, Brother Michael, and I didn't see it when I walked back out. A woman, I don't say this to be mean. I hope you understand my heart this morning. But a woman stepped out, and when I seen her, it absolutely terrified me. I mean, it sent chills across my body. Her face so sunken in, her skin so potted and ruined. And the drugs that had played a toll in her life, when I seen it, didn't even hardly look like a human being. And when I looked at her, now I got back to the church that night, and one of the preachers that was there used to be a crack addict, was on cocaine and was on heroin, lived a life of drugs, hard drugs for years of his life. And I said, "Brother," I said, "let me ask you something." I said, "You've been there. That's the only reason why I want to ask you." I said, "What makes someone get to that point in their life where they just don't even care?" And he began to well up in tears. He said, "I've been there." He said, "It's not that she don't care." He said, "It's that she don't know. She don't know how bad she is. She don't know how far she's gone. She don't know she looks like that. She don't know she approaches people the wrong way. She don't know that her life is in the shams that it is." He said the only reason why she's sober for a minute at the day is just because she's looking for the next moment that she can get her hand on something else and do whatever it takes to get her mind back in an unworking process to find that high one more time. He said, "It ain't that she don't care. If she could go back, she would care, but she just don't know. She don't know." He said, "I didn't know." He said, "But Jesus came. Ooh, and Jesus opened up my blinded eyes. He said, and honey, he said, I was sober for about a half a good second. He said, the Holy Ghost began to deal with my heart and show me the condition. He said, Mama tried to tell me how bad I was. Daddy tried to tell me how bad I was, but I did not know. He said, but when the Holy Ghost shined his light on my life, he said, I realized that I was lost and undone, and that I needed God, that I needed a Savior, and that He was the only one that can take away that hurt, that can take away that pain, and that can give me something better than what a needle ever gave me, than what a joint ever gave me, than what a pipe ever gave me. He said, I'm thankful for the day that Jesus moved for the sinner. Woo! I lift my hand this morning. I say, thank God that we find Jesus moving for the sheep. If you're saved, you ought to be glad. You ought to have both hands up. Thank God that even though we're already saved, already got a home in heaven prepared, He still chooses to come by every now and then and move among us and walk among us and shed His love and to shed His light and to just love us because we are His sheep. That excites me. Hallelujah. Amen. And then hallelujah to God that He don't just come moving for the sheep, but thank God that He comes every now and then and He moves for the sick. And you say, Brother Jared, I'm hurting and I don't even know what's wrong with me. I got a good prescription for you. Old redneck from Mandeville is about to start writing prescriptions. Somebody give me a pen real fast. I just wish I'd had a big old note, stack of paper like that. Hey, amen. About five, I'd look like Nancy Pelosi. Give me a different pen for every time. Hey, amen. Amen. I just write Jesus and I give you a copy. Jesus, Jesus, He's the answer. Jesus, what's right? It don't matter what's wrong with Jesus. Hear what you need from Jesus. Hear what you need. What everybody needs in the building is some Jesus this morning. Woo! Glory. I ain't even going to get to my sermon. I can tell this is the sermon. I got another 3 points, but they take another hour and a half, and y'all don't want me to preach that long, do you? You said it's revival, amen. It ain't an all-day meeting, amen. I'm thankful for Him moving for the sheep, and I'm thankful for Him moving for the sick. But I'm thankful He started out moving for the sinner. Sis, would you mind y'all just come on? Is that all right, preacher? That's where I feel like the Lord wants. I got an outline if y'all want it. I'll give you the rest of it. If you want it that bad, I'll give it to you. But I feel like the Lord wants us right here, right now. And they begin to play some. I'm thankful. I was 10 years old. My daddy's the pastor still of where I got saved, the church, Cannon Baptist Church. His daddy started, built the church. 10 years old, little old preacher's kid. Mama's up on this side playing the piano. Daddy's teaching Sunday school, giving the announcements, leading the singing, preaching the sermon. Giving an invitation. He did it all. And at 10 years old, I was sitting on the right-hand side of Cannon Baptist Church. And the Holy Ghost came by my way. Amen. He said, Daddy, being the preacher ain't enough. Amen. Mama, playing the piano ain't enough. Amen. You and your sister singing ain't enough. But my papa built the church. It's not enough. I know them. I know your papa. I know your daddy. I know your mama. But I don't know you. You know what the problem is today is, especially down here in Pacolet, South Carolina, we're down here close to the Bible Belt, ain't we? I believe the buckle, the prong that runs through the hole in the leather on the belt. Everybody knows who the Lord is. South Carolina, Georgia, and Alabama, and Tennessee, and North Carolina. Was raised in it. Ain't it amazing how everybody knows who God is, but they still live how they want to? You know, brethren, I don't know you, but I believe we're where we need to be this morning. I found this amazing. Everybody said they know who the Lord is, but the scripture said that one day He's going to look at them and He's going to say, you might have knew me, but He'll say, depart from me, for I never knew you. He said, but He knows all things. He knows who I am. Oh, sure He does. But does he know you as his child this morning? See, the Holy Ghost, God the Father and God the Son, seated at the throne, and the Son seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's looking down this morning. Some, he's going to look around this church this morning, and all he's going to see is a whole lot of Jesus. He's just going to say, well, there's my son sitting on the front row. There's my son. He was giving the announcements earlier. There's my son. It's my daughter, but it's my son. There's another son of mine. She's my daughter, but it's my son. He's just looking down because when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees us covered by the blood. And then there's some spots that he's looking down, and all he can see is darkness. All he can see is blackness. All he can see is sin. All he can see is demons fighting and trembling over a precious soul that God wants. And the Holy Ghost of God comes down, and he walks among us, and he starts pulling at hearts, and he's saying, why don't you come? You may know who he is, but why don't you let him know you? Why don't you make it personal today? Brother preacher, I've looked around this morning. I'm not a spooky preacher and I don't push, but I've watched this morning as God already has moved up and down some aisles, and he's playing tug of war. Satan's got you on one side. He's trying to pull you into hell, but the Holy Ghost is reaching out his hand, and he's saying, come ye all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But if the men said, this man, he receiveth sinners. Amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That Philippian jailer looked at Paul and Silas, and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And old Paul looked at him, he said, just believe. Believe on the name of Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You say, Brother Jerry, what do I got to do? You ain't got to do nothing. He's already done everything. He's paid the price. He's made the way. All you've got to do is come and call on his name and ask Jesus to save your soul. Satan's trying his best to take somebody to hell with him today. Woo! But the Holy Ghost is reaching out his hand and saying, Jesus done paid the price for that sin. Jesus done paid the price for that life of misery. Why don't you trust him? Why don't you give up? You're looking for peace. You ain't going to find it out there. But Jesus is the peace speaker. He's the water walker. He's the way maker. He's the bread of life. He's the life giver. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He will change your life and make all things new for you this morning. So here's the invitation. I'm sorry I didn't get to preach my sermon this morning. Y'all all right with that? I wonder this morning, you say, Brother Jared, I need him to move in my life. I don't know how I need him to move. I don't really even know what he needs to do when he starts moving. But all I know is I need him to do something that I can't do for myself. Oh, he's the answer to this. Oh, little sheep. Oh, little child of God. Oh, little lamb. Why don't you just call out? Lift your head and lift your voice. And as a little lamb calls out for his mother in the wilderness, and a mama comes running, why don't you, as a child of God, in the fold of God, lift your head and cry out, Abba, Father, and let him come running into your life. Brother Jared, I got some things wrong. He's the answer. And he's writing prescriptions this morning. If he was writing the prescriptions, they wouldn't say Jesus. I think they'd say something like this. I am. Woo! That I am. Son of David. Emmanuel. What's my prescription for the day? Jesus. This morning, if you're a sinner, he's moving for the sinner. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you. Lord, we love you. Lord, I've tried to mind you the best I know how. Lord, and sometimes, Lord, I feel so scared and nervous. Lord, to get away from, Lord, what I feel like I know. But God, Lord, you know my heart, Lord. As you've moved, Lord, I've just tried to follow you this morning. So, Lord, I ask you to continue to move. And for every hurting heart, for the sickness that they bring to you this morning, we ask you to move. God, Lord, for the sheep that just needs to cry out in the wilderness, would you move? And for a sinner lost and undone without hope, would you move today in Jesus' name? They're standing all over the building, all over the congregation. We're standing together. Stand with me, stand with me. While they're singing, would you come? Let him help you today.
God's saying, I have moved. I sent a messenger. I sent a message. I've anointed it. Sent it directly to you. Now it's your move. Take God's word by faith and receive it. God will work miracles and wonders in our lives. You say, I need God to move in my home. I need God to move in my marriage. I need God to move in my children's life. I need God to move in this church. We need God to move. And God's willing to move. God wants to move. He desires to move on our behalf. But God's not going to bulldoze over us and over our will. The Word of God is clear when it said, without faith it is impossible to please God. He will not continue speaking and trying to work on our behalf if we will not receive what He has spoken by faith. Reach out to Christ this morning. I don't know what you need, but He knows what you need. I'm surely not going to re-preach the message. God made it clear. But God's wanting to work for you. You may have come in here this morning on your last, holding on to your last thread of hope, wondering, will this be the day God will deliver me and work? I don't even know where to begin asking, Lord. He has all that worked out. He knows how to fix every problem. All He needs you to do is come forward by faith and say, Lord, I need help. No more did we know what to do when it come time for salvation. We just knew we was a sinner in need of whatever He could do for us. And by faith, we simply came. And it's the same with the problems of life, the same with some marriage that's messed up, same with some kid that's gone wrong. God knows how to fix and God knows how to move. God's holding us. And where the holdup is at is God saying, I will move. I have moved. Will you? Amen. If you're lost this morning, God's done everything He can do to make sure you go to heaven. He sent His Son to die on the cross to pay for our sin. It's your move. Receive the gospel and believe on the Lord Jesus. And you'll be saved. If we are saved this morning, I'm glad to be saved. I'm thankful this morning to be a child of God. But I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. I'm not satisfied with my status. I'm not satisfied with where we are as a church. And oh, that God would move in our midst this week. Lord, help us not to wait to the end of the week. Wouldn't it be wonderful to go ahead and experience revival while the revival meeting was going on? No telling what God can and will do if we'll get honest before Him, willing to meet God and move. So I want God to move, but not in this area of my life. Hey, we need God to move in every area of our life. The ones we want Him to and the ones we don't. Amen. Amen. Thank you, preacher, for the good word this morning. Wasn't that tremendous? Yes, sir. Amen.